This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Trump made a big move with the Department of Education today. We're going to discuss education in this country. Owen Schwarier got swatted. The stuff is continuing. We're going to talk about the violent left, Chef Gruhl, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, Donald Trump did something wonderful today. Really enjoying this presidency so far. He declared essentially an end to the Department of Education. And we're going to get to the violence of the left and how that directly ties to it in just a moment. I do have to just put this little word out there. I'm sure you already know by now. We cannot eliminate the Department of Education by executive order. What Trump did is good. It is right. It will help pare things down, of course. You can fire half the staff, reduce the budget, things like that. But if you actually want to eliminate it, it's going to involve Congress, which means it's going to involve you and me winning more elections, getting involved in primaries, voting in people who will actually do the things we want to do. But that's another story. It's a good thing he did today. Scott Perry joined us, remember, previously and just said, you know, obviously, we still have more steps to take.
At some point, if Congress doesn't act, the next Democrat in charge is just going to revive it all. Now, the problem's going to be, even if we can get the votes in the House, and there's, you know, look, there are Republicans that probably won't want to vote for that. I'm just saying. But there are going to be Democrats that absolutely will not ever vote for something like that. And, of course, some of those reside in the Senate. So the only way you're going to be able to get that is to attach it to something that Democrats are desperately wanting. Let's say like California disaster relief or something like that, where they desperately want it and you've got to put them in a bad position to have to vote for this to get that, which is what Democrats always do to Republicans, but Republicans never do to Democrats.
Okay. So something good happened. It's a step, a big step in the right direction. Applaud Donald Trump for doing the right thing here, doing something other Republican presidents have talked about, but nobody has followed up on. Good for him. But we're not there yet. It's a good step, though. So let's applaud that. And let's discuss the education system while we're on these lines. Have you been shocked at the violence of the left in recent years? Because they are a nasty, nasty bunch, aren't they? I remember reading an article, I think it was a Breitbart article years ago, during Donald Trump's first presidency, where they outlined in detail 395 incidents of communist violence against people on the right. You, of course, remember the attempted assassination of Brett Kavanaugh. You remember the attempted assassination two times of Donald Trump. Lootings, burnings, murder, looting, burning, murder. I remember that guy in Portland who got shot in the head for wearing a Trump hat. Communists are violent. As we've talked about many times before, it's not what they do. It's who they are. It's woven into their sick religion. It's not something where they sit around wringing hands. I'm not really sure. It's part of being a communist. It's part of being on the left. You understand that violence is part of it. Have you seen what's been happening to Teslas across the country? I'm sure you've seen quite a bit of this. The communist left is aware of what Elon Musk is doing in the government, cutting out the gravy train. And so instead of loudly campaigning against it, just letting their voices be heard, we have incident after incident, multiple arrests now across the country of people setting Teslas on fire, of people keying Teslas, vandalizing them in different ways. One gentleman just got caught on camera wiping poop on one. It would be his own. I'm glad I'm not going to bring you that video. But violence, violence over and over and over and over and over again. But we're going to set them aside for a moment because maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, okay, well, that's not all of them, right? It's a few people here, a few people there, even if it's 20 or 30. No, you don't understand how these people think. Have you ever lived in a Democrat area, been in a gathering with all Democrats? I have. I actually lived in Washington, D.C. for a year. It was horrible. I don't recommend it. But I lived in Washington, D.C. for a year. And there is something that you will notice if you are ever in one of these situations. And if you work or live in this area, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. The casual way Democrats, when they gather in a group, the casual way they discuss acts of violence against you or terrible things happening against you. I'm not just talking about Antifa street animals either. I'm talking about run-of-the-mill Democrats. You could be discussing a bus full of conservatives, and they will, in polite conversation, somebody will say, "Nah, wish that thing go off a cliff," and you won't get any, "Come on, Bob, you can't say that." Universally, you will get, "Yeah, no doubt, right?" It's who they are. It's baked into the cake. Years and years and years of indoctrination has baked it into the cake. The street animals know they are to commit acts of violence. Normie Democrats understand they're to talk about acts of violence against you as if it's just kind of something they do. Elected Democrats like Jasmine Crockett will use all kinds of coded language that the insane street animals will then use and take as permission to hurt you.
Politicians, so I'll make sure that I keep it short, but I am truly here for very selfish reasons. Starting with, on March 29th, it's my birthday, and all I want to see happen on my birthday is for Elon to be taken down. Yes, listen, I have learned as I serve on the DOGE Oversight Committee that there is only one language that the people that are in charge understand right now. And that language is money. And so I've been so proud to see us organize behind a cause.
Teslas are being lit on fire and keyed. People's money. You think all these people having their Teslas damaged are rich? I saw one lovely gentleman walk past somebody's Tesla, grab his suitcase, bashed it into the side as hard as humanly possible, reportedly $3,000 in damage, like that. And yet, let me ask you something. How many Democrat elected representatives, how many Democrats in the media have you come out and seen them say anything along the lines of, "Stop. Stop doing this. Stop committing the acts of violence. Stop committing the vandalism"? I will tell you, I have this TV show I'm writing, which I love. I have a radio show, The Jesse Kelly Show. If I found out Jesse Kelly's show, I'm right, viewers, listeners, were hurting anybody or anything, keying the cars of that had a Joe Biden bumper sticker on it, I will tell you, I would open the show that night pleading with you to stop. Stay on the right side of the law. Don't damage people's property. Don't hurt anybody. I would feel obligated to tell you that. Why doesn't any Democrat feel that obligation? None. Why doesn't any member of the media feel that obligation? Because they want it to happen to you. Look at the late night shows.
Jim, they're taking to the streets or the parking lots.
Tonight, the FBI and ATF now investigating multiple cases of possible arson targeting Teslas and Cybertrucks.
This dramatic video shows multiple cars in flames. Police say the attacker used Molotov cocktails. It's the latest in more than a dozen instances of arson and vandalism targeting Tesla.
The same suspect shot more Teslas with a gun. Tesla Cybertrucks were set on fire in Kansas City, and earlier this month, shots fired at a Tesla dealership in Oregon. Cybertrucks on fire in Seattle.
Wow, you guys like petty acts of domestic terrorism, huh?
Tesla owners are facing backlash everywhere they go. Recently, somebody stole the wheels from every single Tesla in a Texas parking lot. Whoever did it, I do not condone this, but I do appreciate your tireless efforts.
Forget the hosts themselves. Did you think I was kidding when I talked about Democrats and how they talk about you when they're gathered together? Did you hear the crowd? Woo! Vandalism, yeah! Hurt him! It's woven into the communist. The communist cannot remove violence from himself any more than you can take your hand, stick it into your chest, and remove your own heart. Violence is what the communist does. And this is why you must be so firm with these people, because they don't understand anything else. And all this comes back to, where did they learn to act like this? America's university system has been the finishing school for violent American communists. That's why they keep snatching up Hamas and Hezbollah professors on college campuses, We have professors who love Hamas and Hezbollah teaching Aiden, Jaden, and Braden on college, and you're paying for it. How many times have I told you about the Weather Underground terrorists? They're not all rotting in prison today. Today, as we speak, as you're watching this show, they're on college campuses teaching the next generation how to loot, burn, and tear down America. That's what we're up against. Don't think one election somehow cured this. If anything, it made these people more desperate. I was happy to see Trump and Pam Bondi are planning on tackling it.
Do you consider this an act of domestic terrorism?
I think so.
Why?
I think that if and when they catch the people, and I hope they do, the good thing is they have a lot of cameras in those places, and they've caught some already having to do with that. I think that you will find out that they're paid by people that are very highly political on the left.
They are targeting Tesla dealerships, the stations where you charge a Tesla. They're vandalizing cars. I have already directed an investigation be opened to see how is this being funded, who is behind this, doing this. We have people we're locking up on that. We have someone in jail right now from one of the dealerships. They threw a Molotov cocktail through a dealership. They're looking at up to 20 years in prison. So if you're going to touch a Tesla, go to a dealership, do anything, you better watch out because we're coming after you.
Wow.
And
well,
if you're
yep.
funding this, we're coming after you. We're going to find out who you are.
Good. It must be dealt with in that way. There's no other way to deal with them. Fear and pain. Send them to a cage for 20 years. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, on top of the Teslas, they're trying to have people on the right murdered, using the cops to do so. Swatting is what it's called. We have a victim of that. Owen Schroyer joins me in just a moment. Before he does, let me talk to you about Pure Talk. America's corporations, do you know how much of this stuff they have funded? How many times have we had that conversation on the show? How much of your money goes to these street animals? Have you ever had Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile? Do you have them now? Have you ever looked at the groups these corporations donate to? We fund it. Switch to Pure Talk so you can stop funding that. You save a fortune. Pure Talk's on the same 5G network. They share our values. They've never given anything like that. They even hire Americans. Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. And right now, save even more money, an additional 50% off your first month. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Can I just record this?
All right. I assure you, this is a non-starter, gentlemen.
Rotate slowly.
You want me to take my
hands up? Get on your knees.
Just so you guys know, I'm home alone. This is a false police report.
Start crawling back towards the sound of my voice.
I hate those situations. All it takes is one friggin' idiot. Squeeze off a trigger and we don't have Owen anymore. Friggin' Owen, he's been to jail. He's getting swatted. This poor guy. Joining me now, Owen Schroyer, host of War Room. Wonderful show, by the way, with Owen Schroyer. Okay, Owen, well, congrats on getting out of jail and now they're trying to kill you. What happened?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And by the way, I don't know if I told you this last time I was on with you, but when I got access to my radio in prison, I actually got access to your show, and so that was sometimes some enjoyable listening in my cell. I will tell you, it helped pass some nights, some lonely nights. Yeah, so it's a really unfortunate situation. I'm one of, I think we're over a dozen victims in the recent days of this false police report swatting. Somebody called in a fake police report to the Austin police. They said I had shot and killed somebody in my home. I was home alone, and they showed up as a team of at least a dozen men. They had my house surrounded. At that point in time, I realized something was going on because flashlights were shining all in my house. I looked outside. I saw what was going on. I was like, is this for me? And they're like, yeah. And they pointed at me and said, come out with your hands up. So I said, okay. I was well aware of what was going on at that time because somebody also that works at InfoWars had been swatted, Chase Geyser, and some others as well that just don't want to report it yet. So I knew what was going on. I was prepared for it. And yeah, I just filed up a recording on my phone. I also had security footage going as well. There's another image that's the most chilling one that was shot from my neighbor's perspective. Luckily, my neighbors are all my friends and they know what's up too, where you can actually see the guns being pointed at me, because in the one shot that you open the show with, the lights are all shining, so it's hard to really see what's going on. But from my neighbor's perspective, you can see their laser lights on my head, my back, and my chest. And like you said, one slip of the finger, one hothead, one misunderstanding, miscommunication, and that's it. It's game over. And that's the intention of these false police reports and swattings. It is attempted murder. It is terrorism. It needs to be treated that way. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm stuck in this same position after I got sentenced to prison of having to warn people it's going to happen again until something is done. And I said they will arrest other journalists. If they arrest and send me to prison for January 6th and reporting on it, then they're going to come for journalists after that. And then they did. They went after Steve Baker and others. And so I'm now issuing the same warning, different subject, same warning. If people aren't arrested, if this isn't stopped, there will be others.
How much faith do you have that it will be stopped? Look, I there are a lot of people I like, you know, the Bongino, Dan Bongino, I've got all the faith in the world. This is something he wants to dig into, but we have Pam Bondi and Owen. I'm a wait and see man on Pam Bondi. It sounds good right now. We're treating it like domestic terrorism. How do you feel about it? You're the one that's had guns stuck in your face.
Well, I appreciate that because it's a lot different when you've had that situation and you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Let me kind of just give you the whole layout of this. On Pam Bondi, I'm at a zero faith. I have to tell you, I'm at a zero faith. She has completely just destroyed her reputation with the Epstein file and the Bindergate debacle. She has plenty of time to go on Fox News. I think that really that's what she cares about now is getting a job at Fox News whenever she's done as Attorney General. Might be before the end of the year. And she's prioritizing things that, quite frankly, don't need to be prioritized, like college campus protests. And I know it's a hot-button issue. I don't care how you feel about it. That is way down the priority list, or it should be, instead of people having these attempted murders everything that's going on with the Tesla dealerships and the Tesla, you know, that should be top priority, not stopping these college protests, no matter, you know, how personal that might be to you with that hot-button issue. It shouldn't be a top priority. So Bondi, to me, unfortunately, I have no faith in. And just for the record, I've met Pam Bondi. She seems like a very sweet person. Very nice person. I don't think she's corrupt. She just doesn't seem to be in the right place right now. I would anticipate Trump has a new attorney general by next year. Now, Bongino and Patel, I don't know how we can do much better than that. I mean, maybe if it was you and me, but other than that, I don't know how much better you can do than Bongino and Patel. But here's I think this is where the rubber meets the road, and why, whether it's me that actually has had the guns pointed in my face or it's you, somebody in the media reporting on it, we know they have these capabilities. Just look at what they did with the January 6th protesters. They were able to find somebody off of a picture of an earlobe. They were able to identify people with just a picture of a key fob in their pocket. They were able to have all the means and mechanisms, apps on your phones, geolocation, everything else. If they have the will, there is a way. If they have the will, there is a way. So this whole game of pushing it off, I just don't buy. And I will also tell you, I've had off-the-record conversations with, you know, people that are involved in investigations of this or would like to be. They're frustrated. They're frustrated at the lack of answers that they're getting. They're frustrated at the lack of action that they're getting. So I don't really know what's going on. A lot of frustration has been voiced at me. Hey, putting out a statement on X is fine, but it's not enough. We really need to be seeing arrests. We need to really be hearing about what a priority this is. But I think if you're going to do a strong statement, at least do it in a joint press conference with the DOJ, the FBI, the DHS, and say, we are considering this terrorism. When we catch you, you're going to jail for at least 25 years minimum. I mean, if you're going to do a strong statement thing, then that's how it needs to be done. A post on X doesn't do it for me. Like you said, I don't know how much better you do than Dan Bongino, but when I see that post, like he posts every day, he says, it's March 20th, and it's a bad day to be a bad guy in America. Well, that kind of hurts a little bit, because I'm not a bad guy. I'm a good guy. And I just had guns pointed in my face a centimeter away from my life. So I like Bongino and Patel. It's about as good as you can do, but things need to start moving fast, and not on a college campus over a protest, over domestic terrorism happening all over the country.
Yeah, no, it's not the first time I've heard this frustration. Oh, and before I let you go, I'm hesitant to even say his name. You are welcome to, just out of respect for his family, because I can't imagine what his family's going through, but a colleague of yours was just gunned down also in Austin. I saw Alex Jones talking about it publicly. People talked about it. I know you're grieving. It's freaking horrible. If you wanted to say something about it, you're welcome to. I just don't feel like it's my place.
I appreciate that. Jamie White was a great American. He was a great person, but he was a great writer and reporter for Infowars.com. And it really appears he was just murdered in cold blood. It was a robbery gone wrong. It appears that somebody was trying to rob his car. It had already happened before, so I think he kind of already had a little personal situation because his car had already been robbed. So it looks like his car was in the process of being robbed. And it's a bad area in Austin. Austin is down bad right now. The Democrats have turned the city into a violent, crime-infested hellhole, unfortunately, which even when I moved here 10 years ago was nowhere near this bad. But it's bad now, so it's unfortunately very common. But it does look like he was trying to stop a robbery. They shot him. They killed him. But I have to say, you know, he was on a hit list. He was on a Ukrainian hit list. And now some of these false pizza orders are putting his name on it. A false pizza order that came to my house was from a pizza joint at the intersection right where he was murdered. So you can't help but wonder now, was there something else involved in this? Even though it appears it was just a robbery gone wrong, you can't help but have your mind gravitate towards, was this something else? Was this something even more diabolical than just that? But you know what? Aside from the tragedy, Jamie White was a great person. He's greatly missed at InfoWars, and I'm just glad that people are recognizing him and some of the great work that he did over the years is kind of getting a lot more attention now. It's unfortunate that's the case, but yeah, that's what it's like. Our colleague gets shot and killed last week. This week I get guns pointed in my face. I mean, good Lord, what's next, Jesse?
Well, prayers for you and all the InfoWars crew, my brother. I know you guys are going through. Appreciate you very much. You're horrible, man. Sad. Do that a family. All right. Let's talk about the economy. Let's get out of that. Talk about the economy for a little bit before we talk about that. You ever heard about magnesium? I know it sounds. Don't worry, you're not in chemistry class. When I tell you Beam, that they have natural things in their hot chocolate, it's not just melatonin. There's a bunch of things in there, all natural things. That's why I love it. That's why Dream Powder from Beam puts you to sleep and you wake up feeling good. Getting something to put you to sleep, it's not hard to find. Getting something that'll make you feel like you had natural sleep when you woke up, that's impossible to find until Dream Powder came along. I never have a bad night's sleep. Now, if I think I'm gonna, or if I'm tossing and turning, I get up, a little cup of Dream Powder from Beam, it's hot chocolate, sleep like a baby. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. Okay, so I don't know whether to celebrate or cry. Interest rates are unchanged. Now, I am my father's son, so I watch interest rates like a hawk, and I want them lower. I'm sure you want them lower. I talk to people, and they're paying 7, 8% for a house, and it makes me cry, although I admittedly paid 7.25% at one point in time in my life. It was an ugly time. Joining me now, our favorite here on the show, John Carney, Breitbart News, finance and economics editor. Okay, John, rates are the same. What am I supposed to take from this?
That the Fed is worried that inflation is still running higher than they wanted it to. They were really convinced at the end of last year that inflation was going away. Remember, they cut interest rates three times in September, November, and December, but they really underestimated the strength of inflation. Inflation actually ran a lot hotter than they thought it would, and it showed some heat in the beginning of this year. It actually cooled off a little in February, but they're still worried about it, and so they're going to keep rates where they are, at least till June, probably later than that.
Okay, John, Trump seems to be, it's not that leaning on the Fed is a new thing for him, but Trump seems to be very, very keen on getting a rate cut before all this tariff stuff kicks in. I don't understand the connection. I'm 100% positive you do. What's the connection?
Yeah, so what Trump is saying is that he thinks that lower rates would ease the transition as we enter what might be a tariff fight. Look, Trump is saying he's going to put reciprocal tariffs, meaning we match what other countries put on us. And other countries may react to that by raising their own tariffs. A tariff war would not be good for the economy. There would be a slowdown if everybody is in sort of this race to the top with tariffs. I'm not sure that will happen. In fact, what we've seen with Canada and Mexico is we threaten tariffs. They actually agreed to comply with what we want. A rational country, let's say you're Germany, would say, okay, look, we will lower our tariffs, and so you'll lower yours. That's one response. But the Fed doesn't see it that way. The Fed actually, Jerome Powell said that they're calculating in the idea that there will be full reciprocation, full retaliation from other countries. So if we raise tariffs, they'll raise tariffs, which means we'll raise it. So the Fed is worried about what that means for growth. And they're also worried, on the other hand, that we could get higher inflation from tariffs. I think both of those might be wrong, but that's where the Fed is right now.
Okay, John, we're going to have a little tariff talk here because there are a couple things that I want you to clarify for me. When it comes to Mexico and Canada, we'll focus on them right now. What is going on with it? And I say it in this way. I know that's a terrible way to ask a question, but one day we wake up and there's going to be a tariff. And then the next day we wake up and they're backing off and there's no tariff. And then the next day there's going to be another tariff. And then the next day they're backing off. Is it going to be this for 4 years? What is the game being played here? Do we have them? Do we not have them? When are we going to have them? What?
Yeah, I agree that this is not an ideal situation. You really want to be able to give businesses, consumers, a steady hand, a guide to what is happening. This back and forth isn't helpful. But the thing to remember about the Canada and Mexico tariffs is they're really serving two functions. One, it's more of a diplomacy function than a trade function. The reciprocal tariffs that Trump is going to announce on April 2nd, those will be the real trade tariffs, the tariffs where we're reacting to other countries' unfair trade policies. This is what I'd call a diplomacy tariff, where Trump says, look, we have other problems that we need your help solving. Number one, fentanyl. Number two, illegal aliens crossing the border. We want you to help us out, Canada, Mexico. And if you agree to help us, the tariffs won't be the 25% that we said they would be. And if you try to fight back against a tariff hike instead of agreeing to help us, the tariffs will go even higher. So that's why we have this back and forth. I don't think that's a great way for... I do think there's an economic cost to the uncertainty that creates. And frankly, a psychological cost. As you said, you know, they're on, they're off, they're on, they're off. That's not great. I do hope that we'll come to a resolution on those probably around April when the reciprocal tariffs are going on. What Trump is concerned about is that if we do get in this tariff war and it slows down the economy, that the Fed actually should be cutting. If the economy is slowing down, then there's a threat to employment. The Fed's mandate says cut. It also says they have to work about inflation, but if tariffs aren't very inflationary, the Fed should absolutely be cutting in this situation. That's why Trump is, I would say, fighting with the Fed. Trump really believes that he is allowed to have opinions about monetary policy and he's allowed to express them. He's not like sicking Elon Musk on the Fed and saying, you know, you must do what I tell you to do with interest rates. He's saying, I think you should cut. Go ahead, you know, please do the right thing. But he's not saying, you know, I hereby order you to cut, which, you know, those are two different things. But the legacy media tends to obscure that.
John, my second part of the tariff question is, you mentioned if we raise our tariffs on somebody to match theirs, that they would raise theirs. So let's just make it about Germany because that's a country you brought up. That doesn't make sense to me because that sounds like a loser for Germany. I don't understand why a country that is smaller, weaker, and less financially sound than us would play that game with us, why would they play that game?
It's a little bit like a game of cards. They want to check to see if we're bluffing. If we say we're going to impose tariffs on you at the same rate that you impose us on us, one, I'll just say, they say, well, that's not fair. We've been allowed to impose higher tariffs on you for 40 years. Why are you suddenly changing the deal? Donald Trump is saying, that's what we're doing. We are changing the deal. The uneven playing field that we put in place, frankly, to win the Cold War, to make sure that our allies in Europe and Asia were more prosperous than the allies of the Soviet Union, we allowed them to have a better deal. Well, that's over now. They're fully developed countries. They have powerful economies on their own. They don't need the unlevel playing field anymore. Trump is saying we're going to get a level one. I would not be surprised if at least some of them try to say, we don't think you can do it. We think we're going to respond with higher tariffs on you, and we'll see who caves first. A game of chicken, I guess. But hopefully rational heads prevail over in Europe, because you shouldn't play that game with Donald Trump. Maybe you could get away with it with Joe Biden. You're not going to win it against Donald Trump.
Okay, and that brings me to what it means for me, you, everybody watching this show. Let's do a little worst case scenario here. Let's say it gets bad and they do jack up theirs and we jack up ours and we have ourselves a good old fashioned trade war. We don't generally understand. I know you do, John, but idiots like me don't generally understand how that's going to impact me. What do we get from where? I don't understand. I'm reasonably sure we get some avocados from Mexico, but those are gross anyway, so nobody cares. How's this going to affect me?
So it actually will affect the U.S. a lot less than people think, because we import far lower percentage of our economy than most other countries. We are a very large economy. We have a huge free market within the U.S. We are much less dependent on getting stuff from abroad. If you think about the difference between the environment of Maine and the environment of Hawaii and Alaska and Florida, we can grow oranges and we can catch salmon, right? Like, very few other countries in the world have as much economic, geographic diversity and therefore economic diversity as the U.S. So it'll impact us a lot less. The tariffs themselves are unlikely to cause very much inflation. Actually, the Fed's own projections released this week showed very little increase in inflation that they expect over the coming year from what they expected before Trump was elected. So they're not really that worried about inflation. I don't think people should be. A bigger threat may be if other countries raise their tariffs a lot, that could lower demand for some U.S. goods and services. That could then have a negative drag on the U.S. economy. But again, not as much as the headlines would have you believe, because we have a very large and independent economy, even if the rest of the world decides to throw a fit because Donald Trump is trying to make them play fair.
I cannot let you go without playing you this little clip from Elon Musk about magic money things. Here he was.
I call a magic money computer any computer which can just make money out of thin air. That's magic money.
So how does that work?
It just issues payments.
And you said there's something like 11 of these computers at Treasury that are sending out trillions in payments?
They're mostly at Treasury. Some are, but there's some at HHS, some at, there's one or two at State, there's some at DOD. I think we found now 14 magic money computers.
Where 14,
they,
okay.
They just send money out of nothing.
What?
Yeah, this is true. This is how the federal government makes payments. It doesn't, when you and I want to pay somebody something, we either reach into our wallet, our bank account, or our credit card. The federal government doesn't have to do any of those. It actually just sends out the checks and figures out whether it had enough money that it had borrowed or taxed later on. That's actually, officially, it's not really supposed to do it that way. the GEO says they're supposed to check to see if they have the funds. What Elon Musk is telling us, and I knew this going way back, is that they don't do that. They actually just send the checks out. They assume the money is there, that we've borrowed enough or we've taxed enough, and they just send it out. It is a magic money machine. They, you know, we always talk about like the government printing money, but they don't really even print the money. I mean, yes, they print some dollars, but that's a small portion of the total money that's out there. They create money by literally telling a computer to increase other people's bank accounts. That's how the federal government creates money. They do this without looking first to see if they have the money. And it's a, one way of putting it is it's like the Fed has its own overdraft, or the federal government has its own overdraft facility. They just write the checks and then figure out if they can pay for it later. And if they can't, the check's still clear.
Jeez. What a world. John, thank you, brother, as always. I appreciate you. All right. As you know, I've been hot on dips lately. Not getting my dip from restaurants when I order my dip. When I ask for ranch, I need my ranch. So we have Chef Andrew Gruhl joining us next. We're going to talk to him about what am I missing next.
Have you been denied a side of sauce at a restaurant? Did the waitress promise you your ranch but left you with nothing? You have been wronged and you deserve justice. They took your order, they took your trust, they took your money, but they didn't bring you your sauce. They left you without your dip. Don't let them get away with it. Join the Dip Defenders at dipdefenders.com. We're the hard-hitting team that fights for you, your condiments. When the wait staff won't, we do. We've recovered millions of ketchup packets, ranch cups, and hot sauce bottles for clients just like you. You deserve to be treated like a human being. Don't wait. Join Dip Defenders now and get the sauce you deserve. Plus, for a limited time, you can learn to make Jesse Kelly burgers as well. DipDefenders.com, because dry food is a crime and we are your justice.
Join now and subscribe. Results not guaranteed. Sauce availability subject to restaurant cooperation. Dip Defenders not liable for soggy fries.
Someone has to fight for you. I bet Chef Gruhl will join me. Joining me now, our very own, the great Chef Andrew Gruhl, chef, owner of the wonderful Calico Fish House. Chef, I need you to explain to me where the disconnect is, my man. Every time I ask, every time, they don't bring it. They don't bring it with the meal. I even watch the waitress write it down. It never comes. And then when I ask for it, it's another 15 minutes while my food gets cold. Where's the disconnect? What do I need to do?
All right, well, let me start by letting you know that when I started my first restaurant, our tagline internally with our staff is Sauce's Boss. We actually wrote our sauce recipes and our sauce list before I wrote the full menu. So I'm with you on this. And I like Sauce Defenders. It's going to be Kelly Gruhl Sauceman LLP. I can see the billboards right now. The disconnect, okay, there's two things happening here. Number one, it's laziness. All right. So I'm just going to be honest with you. It's pure laziness. And if you do not specifically instruct your staff to be vigilant about the sauces, your restaurant has a much higher failure rate or the potential to fail. Number two, China. China's got us. And let me tell you why. All of these little sauce ramekins that you just showed there, they're the 2 ounce sauce ramekins. They come in a case of 500. You have to buy another case of the lids specifically. So there's many situations now where restaurants, and all of this is coming from China. And the price of these products have gone up, like, especially since COVID, probably five, almost 10x. So it's a money thing. You know, you talk about how they're infiltrating us and they're taking us over and they're playing the long game through like education, higher education, elementary school, and that's how the communists win. Well, this is the way China wins. They know what they're doing with the sauce cups. They know that they're really bearing us down. And the last thing is that these little lids, they're hard to put on. So restaurant workers hate doing it because they never connect. China always makes it so they're a little bit off. We got to bring the sauce containers production back to the United States.
I never see. This is exactly why I always have to bring you on, Chef. I never even made the connection that the little stupid plastic cup that I don't think about It goes on the, of course it would go on the restaurant's bottom line. If that price goes up, everything gets screwed up. Gosh, I learn something new every day. Chef, everybody knows about your food. Well, pretty much everybody. Everyone drools over all of it. Tell me about some sauces at the Calico Fish House. Because when I sit down, when I order fries or something like that, I'll go over the whole menu looking on a sauce hunt, trying to figure out which is the money one that I want to dip my fries in. I bet you've got some good stuff.
Well, the good news is when you come to Calico, you're not going to have to search because we actually list our sauces right on the menu. So you're going to have it right there. And we even have a booth set up for you right now with, like, we got balloons. We've got we've got small animals. You're going to love it. We're waiting for you. We're ready. So I've got – the way I break this down, because I'm a sauce guy myself, is that you want your creamy sauce, right? So you want kind of your basic ranch-like sauce. I call ours a creamy lemon herb, so it's just – it's like a ranch, but it's better. And then you want your spicy creamy sauce. Most places use like a chipotle sauce, right? But we do a much crazier one we call the awesome sauce or the everything sauce, and it's like – gochujang and smoked chilies in there, and it's the creamy one. But then you want an herb sauce that doesn't have a mayo base, because not everybody loves mayo. I don't know what's wrong with people, but they don't, right? So we do like a chimichurri, but we blend it, and then we lace in a little bit of soy sauce in there just to give you that extra oomph. We've also got, you got to have a vinaigrette type sauce on the menu. That can be like a red pepper vinaigrette, but then you got to emulsify it so it almost takes on that creamy look. It's not broken, but it's still a vinegar-based sauce. And then you got to have a nice chunky sauce, almost like a dip. It can be a charter sauce, or it can be more of like a kind of a chunky veggie aioli. That's an essential sauce right there. So those are the ones I think you're going to like when you come to our restaurant. You also got to have a hot sauce too, right? So hold on, let me just take a sip here. There we go. So you got to have a nice hot sauce on the menu. I like to drink it at home myself. And that hot sauce is essential. You got to make it in-house. We're ready for you.
Oh, I'm so freaking hungry now. I can't wait to come see you. Okay, I can't let you go without actually congratulating you, one, and tell you how much I respect the fact. You a politician now, chef?
No, I'm still just a chef, but I'm out here now. You know, I cut waste in my kitchen, and now they're going to move me to the government, local government, to continue cutting waste there, run a band of pirates. So it's true. Yeah, I'm on city council. I'm a city councilman. The greatest city in California, 7-0 city council. We've been fighting the state, fighting them with lawsuits on sanctuary cities, voter ID status. I mean, talk about standing up for everything that's right in a little town in California. Who knew that the most patriotic city in America would be Huntington Beach, California? So it's an honor to serve on the city council. And I look forward to bringing some craziness to the dais.
Good for you, my brother. Seriously, proud of you. Good for you. Respect the heck out of it. Chef, you're the man. All right. We have light in the mood. Remember, if you want to sign up to be a Dip Defender, you have to go to dipdefenders.com. All right? We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And you remember Christopher Steele, why can't I say that word, that dirtball, who created the Steele dossier, take down Donald Trump, all that stuff. Well, frequent guest of the show, friend of the show, Natalie Winters, went on with Piers Morgan and friggin' destroyed him.
Well, I know Christopher Steele probably wanted to go down in history as someone that colluded with the Clinton campaign to take down President Donald J. Trump, but I really think that you represent probably the ultimate grifter in the American political space. For you to even come on here, obviously you're trying to sabotage what President Trump is doing when it comes to Russia and Ukraine, but to sit here, what is it, nearly a decade after you tried to smear President Trump as a Russian asset, to then say, well, I think he's a Russian asset, but even though I'm really good at my job and create all these intelligence reports, it's just sort of a feeling that I have. I'm sorry, what stones do you even have left to turn over to try to corroborate your claim that President Trump is a Russian asset? You what? Weaponized FISA courts, surveillance, warrants, not just domestic spy agencies, international spy agencies too, the entire DNC apparatus, a bunch of political operatives and registered foreign agents here in the United States. The American people would really appreciate it if you would stop injecting your efforts to curtail and totally tank the America First movement by smearing anyone who doesn't want to get involved in forever wars or continue the needless and ceaseless dying of in Ukraine and in Russia, just so you can sit there from your nice perch and just continue to defend the globalist world order by continuing to fan the flames of conflict in Russia and Ukraine. You're a complete political hack and grifter, and I wish the American political scene didn't have your voice in it.
I'm uncomfortable. I'll see you tomorrow.